Well, good morning, everyone. I appreciate you being here today to spend time with us together here. If you've been here for the last number of weeks, we've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount, probably one of the most incredible sermons that's ever been preached, partly because of who the author is, right? Jesus. So you can't go wrong with that. But in the middle of the middle of the middle of the Sermon on the Mount is the Lord's Prayer. So it's literally in the very center of it. Now, if you've been following us over the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about Semitic writing. Anybody remember I mentioned that word, that real weird word? Okay. What that talks about is that the most important part of what's being said is found in the middle of it. For example, Psalms 23. How many people know that psalm? You know, and it starts out, right? The Lord is my shepherd. That's great, right? And then it ends, David says this, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we think that's the punchline, right? We think that's the most important part. But actually it's not, because it's Semitic writing, meaning the front points to something in the middle, the back or the end points to something in the middle, and here's what it says in the middle. You restore my soul. Right in the very middle of that psalm. In other words, that is the main thing of that psalm. Now, the ends are good, right? The end is good, you know, dwell with the Lord and that he's our shepherd, but that our soul is renewed. Well, it's the same with the Sermon on the Mount. We've got Jesus beginning it, and he says, look, you've got to change the way you look at things. You've got to change your attitude. In fact, I like to use the word beatitudes. Just think attitude. It's an attitude adjustment at the start, right? And then at the very end, which we haven't got to, but here's what it says. Those who hear the sayings of mine and does them, it's like one who builds his house on the rock. The storms come and go, and yet that house will remain standing. All right, so that's the beginning and the end. You know, have a right attitude, hear what I'm saying, right? And that sounds good. But it's the middle that's everything, and that's the Lord's Prayer. And here's why it's the most important. It talks about connection. It talks about our connection with him. And that's what prayer is all about, right? Now, I want to begin with a story. In fact, this story, I just read this story this morning. But it so profoundly touched me. And just so you know, I fact-checked it. True story, okay? So it's not, oh yeah, I heard this on the internet. And yeah, I fact-checked this. This is a fact. So let me tell you this story. This is World War II. This is in the Netherlands. And so it was occupied, obviously, by the Nazis in the late 1944. There was a young man by the name of Karl Heinz. He had been recruited by the German military. They were pretty desperate then, so they were just taking kids, you know, young people, anybody that could kind of breathe and move and carry a gun, they took. So he was about 17 and a half years old when he was conscripted to be in the military. So he was placed in the Netherlands. And so as the story goes, this account is that he's there, he's in a foxhole, and the Allied bombers are going over, and there's bombs blowing up all around. And so there are a couple of children that are playing out in a yard. And you might say, how could kids play, you know, little kids play in a yard while there's bombs going off? Well, it's been happening for like 4+ years. And so for them, it was like, you know, bombs are going off. You know, they just carry on with life. And there were 5, 6-year-old children, a little boy and a little girl. And so they're there playing. And so Karl Heinz could see them playing there, you know, the little Dutch kids playing. But he's, you know, watching other things. And then as he's watching, he sees that they're by a brick wall. And because of all the bombs that have been dropped over the last number of years, you know, all the structures are kind of iffy. You know, their foundations have been shook to the core, literally. And so this giant brick wall is right where these two kids are playing, right near it. And he sees as a bomb gets dropped nearby and it shudders the ground that the wall begins to go over. And he sees, man, these kids are done. They're going to die. So here's what he does. He jumps out of the foxhole, drops his rifle, runs towards the kids, pushes them out of the way, just in time as the wall comes down. And he ends up perishing. But here's the thing. All these years later, we remember the name Karl Heinz. What about all the other tens of thousands of soldiers that were there? We don't remember any of them, but here's what he does. Think about this. He's there because he's under orders. He's there to serve, you know, the Nazi Germany and what they're called him to do. So he's there doing that. Yet he saw a human need, and he left that to deal with what was more important. I'm here to tell you today, that's what prayer does in your life and in my life. In other words, we're about our daily needs. We're carrying our gun around, so to speak. You know, we're for different, we're passionate about different things, whether it might be politics or, you know, jobs or careers, or, you know, and we're doing our thing, all right? But here's the thing. There are times where God intervenes and wants to intervene to tell you and I that, look, there's something higher that I've called you to do. And it's always about people. I will tell you that right now. It's always about people. And so just as that Karl Heinz left his, left what his duty was, in a sense, to do a higher duty, that's what prayer does in your life and in my life. It helps us to be focused on what's more important. Now, I don't know about you, but I find at times that I get so focused on what's going on around me, that I forget that I'm a citizen of heaven. Is there any other citizens of heaven here? I hope so. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a citizen of heaven. And we forget that we're actually called to do things unlike the world does. And prayer is communication with God to help us understand what we are called to do. And so just as Karl Heinz in the natural saw that need, prayer helps us to see the needs that are all around us, to have a heavenly perspective, so to speak. And so that's what I want to talk about for the next few minutes here is the Lord's Prayer, that kind of the intro to it, and the Lord's Prayer, and to break it down a little bit, just in a kind of a cursory kind of way, just a, you know, kind of a broadband look at it to encourage you. For some of you, this might be, I know all this. For some of you, you might be, I never thought of that before. So I hope we all have maybe an aha moment somewhere along the way. So I want to begin in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. Jesus is speaking, and he says this, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." So let's just take a look at this for a moment. First of all, what does it say? What did I underline? When you pray. So should we pray? No, listen, Jesus is expecting you to pray. And for some of us, we're like, okay, yeah, I know. I should, when I first get up in the morning, I need to allocate an hour, you know, because Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Can't you stand with me for 1 hour?" You know, can't, you know, and we're like, oh, yeah, I got to do that. And that lasts for about a week, right? You know what I'm talking about. You're like, yeah, I'm gonna try to do this. And it lasts for about a week, and then you just can't do it anymore. Here's what it's saying is that we need to have an attitude of prayer. Should we set time aside to pray? Yes, we should. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's not an angel in heaven with a stopwatch. Say, okay, go. You know, and then when the hour's up, okay, you can stop now. There is no angel in heaven doing that at all. You know what God is looking for is sincere people that are just coming to him to want to interface with him and have a conversation. This is just so, so important. So don't get caught up in, it's got to be an hour, it's got to be this, it's got to be that. Listen, just talk to him. And in fact, now I'm going to say something that might be a little bit different to your thinking. We need to set time aside specifically to pray. But listen to me. You and I as believers need to be in an attitude of prayer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You shouldn't turn Jesus off anytime in your life, folks. In fact, if you are, let me tell you what you're doing. When you're doing that, you're sinning. If you've turned Jesus off in a part of your life, it means that you've done that on purpose so you can go do whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Not here to point anybody out here. In fact, Jesus is the one talking to you now. I'm not going to name names because I don't know. But he knows and you know. And so it's just so important for you and I to have that attitude of prayer all the time. And listen to me. If we have that, sin will become more foreign to us than it's ever been. We won't want to do wrong. Why? Because when we have an attitude of prayer, that's literally in my mind, when I have that attitude, it's like Jesus is walking right beside me all the time. Now, would you sin if physical Jesus was standing beside you? No, you'd be kind of like this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to look sideways. I'm just, you know, whatever you want me to do. Why? Because you know he's there. Well, here's the thing. He's not beside you. He's in you. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, he lives inside you. He abides in you. That means there's not the highest mountain you can go to, the deepest valley. In fact, you can't even, you know, the Bible even talks about you, even in hell, you can't get away from Jesus, if you understand. So you may be in a hell of a situation right now. Jesus is there with you. And if you'll call upon him, he'll answer. Promises that in Jeremiah, if you call upon me, I will answer and show you marvelous things you know not of. And that's what prayer does. It helps us to connect to the Creator who knows all things. The one who's been behind, saw all the stuff back there, How many people know what I'm talking about? Back there. He also knows your future, which are unknown to you and I. And then he comes into our present to help us prepare for what's going to happen. Wow. But here's the thing. We have to connect with him to do that. And so here's, when we don't have an attitude of prayer, it's not that Jesus has left the house. The Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So he is there. The thing is, we've left the house, so to speak. We've turned our attention elsewhere. In fact, you know what the word prayer, it's interesting. It's a compound word in the Greek language. And it actually means to turn and face. That's the first part of it. It's pretty cool, right? That's what prayer means, to turn and face. And then the last part of it is to know the will and purposes of God. That's the other part. Pretty cool, right? To turn and face in worship. In other words, he's worth turning to. Can you say amen to that? He's worth turning. So here's the thing. When was the last time that you went to try to fix something without consulting God? How'd that work out for you? Not very well. It never does. But when we include the Holy Spirit in the decision-making, everything will work out as God directs us. And it might not be the way we want it or the way we expect it, but we know that God is with us to help us through it. Amen? And so when we pray, we need to be constantly in prayer, right? Okay, verse 6. But you, meaning us, right? When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So this was a contrast, right? When we read in the verse before, it was like, you know, don't be on the street corners, you know, don't be out in public because you've received your reward already, but rather we're to go to him in a room. Now this word room, this is so cool. I love the word of God. So the word for room in the original language, it's a word and you won't care, but it's tamion, all right? That's the word. It's what it means is what's important. So it can mean a couple different things. It can mean a storeroom, all right? It can also mean a place where supplies are kept of all different sorts, but it can also mean, I'm going to use a word and then I'll explain it, a magazine. Now, when we think of a magazine, first of all, we think of magazines that you can read. That's not what it's talking about, but you think of like a magazine in a gun that holds the bullets, all right? So that's called a magazine. But in shipbuilding, in the military, when you had what was called the magazine, that was an inner room in the middle of the ship where you keep the dynamite and you know, ammunition, all the different things. Why would it be in the middle of the ship at the bottom of the ship? Anybody know? It's the safest place, right? Because if a torpedo comes and hits, it's not going to be on an outer part where the whole boat blows up. It's a place of safety, right? But it's also a place where potential power is as well. So here's what Jesus says. He says, go into your room and shut the door. Go into the storeroom. Go into the magazine. Go into the place where there's power. Think about this now. So all of a sudden now, when you're going into prayer, you're going there to take the weapons that you need to fight the good fight of faith. That's where you're going. So all of a sudden now, it's not like, well, God, okay, I just want to pray and talk to you about this and got this going on, I got that going on. And you can do that. That's all okay. But here's the end. In the end, you're going into his presence so you can receive power to go out and do what he's called you to do. And so that's what that room is for. It's that storeroom, that magazine, where the weapons of your warfare are stored. And if you remember in Scripture, it says this, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We don't battle against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in high places. So here's the thing. If you're in a battle with someone right now, do not be like some people I know. Well, I'm going to say this, and then they're going to say that, and then I'm going to say this. You know, because what are you doing? You're battling them in the flesh. You're battling them with words in the natural, and you will never win being pulled down to their level. But your weapons are actually spiritual. Your weapons are able to pull down those things, those spiritual things that are behind the words of that other person. You need to understand that some of the greatest power you have sometimes is the ability to walk away. I learned that a few years ago, in fact, a long time ago, where when people would come against me, you know, and the Lord would just say, walk away. And I'm like, no, I don't want to walk away. I've been defeated then. He says, no, you've won. And I realized that unless the Lord gave me something to say, the best thing I can do is just walk away. And that showed what? I was still in control. And you need to learn that. That your words cannot change anything. But the words that Jesus gives you through prayer have power and can change everything. That's why prayer is so, so important. We have to connect to God as believers. Without that, we're like a boat without a sail. We have no idea where we're going. We're just drifting around. But we need the wind of the Spirit to push us in the direction God has called us to. And that only happens through connection with Him in prayer. Amen? Okay. So, then we go on. It says, and when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Therefore, don't be like them, for your Father knows the things which you have need of before you ask Him. So here's the thing. Back in Jesus' day, there were different cults and different groups that would just use repetition. You know, say this over and over and over again, expecting that their gods would hear them. And Jesus is saying, look it, your dad in heaven already knows your need. So you might say, well, then why do I bother praying? Anybody ever thought that? You know, they read that scripture. They went, well, what's the point then? He already knows. Well, how many parents do I have here? Okay. Have you ever had a situation where your kid needed something and you knew they needed something, but you were waiting for them to ask? Anybody? Yeah. Well, guess what? Your Father in heaven is like that too. In other words, there are times where even though He knows you need something, He's waiting for you to say, Lord, I come before You. I have this need. Why? Because He wants to connect with you. That's His heart for you, all right? So just because He knows doesn't mean you shouldn't ask. In fact, elsewhere in Scripture it says this, you have not because you ask not, all right? So it's important for us to ask, and we ask through prayer, through connecting with the Lord. And oh, by the way, when you're praying, please do not be this person. You look at your watch, you got 10 minutes, all right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But you take that 10 minutes, it's like, okay, Lord, here's my list. And for 10 minutes, you're banging away all the different things. And then you're like, see you later. And you walk away. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was your dad in the natural and you came to me with a list of needs, I'm going to have a problem with that. I don't know. Now, Jesus is perfect. I'm not. But it may be problematic. So I believe in halftime. Here's what I believe. If you're going to take 10 minutes and pray, you better make sure 5 minutes of it is listening. You get what I'm saying? In other words, just give time so that you can soak back. And you might hear His voice. You may sense an impression, whatever. But the thing is, you need to give Him time to just soak back on you. Now, here's the thing. You might not get an answer to your need at that moment. Has anyone had that happen? You've prayed and like you heard like crickets, right? And it's like, well, man, this doesn't work, right? And then you walk away and you're like, forget this. Please don't do that. Because here's the thing. There could be a couple of reasons why you don't hear from Jesus right away. Could it be, now, nobody here this could be, but could it be that you're just not ready to hear the truth? Could it be? You know, that's not anybody here, but, you know, some people out there. You know, just may not be able to take what God's got for them. Could it be that you already have formulated in your mind the answer you want? I'm one of those at times. Come on, anybody else here? You know, you're praying a prayer and you're like, Lord, you know, I got this need. And you're like, yeah, I want to check in my mailbox for, you know, $100,000. And in other words, you've got it all figured out in your head what you want God to answer. Now, here's the problem with that. If God answers right then, sometimes it's really hard to know, is that Jesus speaking or is that me? Anybody ever had that trouble where is this my head or my heart? Well, you know, and it can get really confusing. Well, here's the thing. God's not a God of confusion. So here's what I've learned. This is what happens to me. This may help some of you, all right? So I'm a guy that when I go to prayer, I already think in my head, I know what I want. And I'm sure there's a couple people here like that, all right? Now, the problem is I have trouble discerning whether that's God or me when I hear from Him at that moment. So here's what I've learned. That if I maintain an attitude of prayer, in other words, I leave my prayer closet, I leave my prayer room, and I go about my day, and I'm just about my day, whistling a tune, you know, whatever I'm doing, all right? And all of a sudden, I hear God say something, and I'm not thinking about it. Then I know it's Jesus. So that is what I have found with the Lord, that often I don't get the answer in the room right when I'm with Him right there and then, but as I start to go through my day or my week or my month, or my year, you hear what I'm saying? In other words, I maybe wasn't ready yet, but then I do hear from Him. Because the Bible says this, when you call out to Him, the Bible says this, it promises this in Jeremiah, I will answer you. That's a promise from the Word of God. Now, it doesn't say when. Okay, so I'm just letting you know, I'm just being honest with you, all right? Sometimes we're like, well, come on, you know, New York Minute, come on. And he's like, no, you're not ready, or just not the right time, or whatever it might be. But you will hear from him. So I can't encourage you enough just to be open after you've left your prayer room to maintain an attitude of prayer. In fact, would any of you want to be without Jesus in any part of your life? I hope not. In fact, if any of you are like, well, that means that's an area of sin. Got a suggestion for you. Just repent. Just move on from that, because that's not helping you. It's not helping anybody around you, not helping you. Just let it go so Jesus can be a part of every single aspect of your life. That's what he wants. Amen? Okay, so let's go on. So now here's what he does. He now says, in this manner pray. So Matthew 6, verse 9. So here's what he's saying. In this skeleton outline, in this, you know, direction, pray this way. So how many people have memorized over the years, maybe you're a little kid, the Lord's Prayer? How many have done that? I remember I did it, you know, we did it in school for, I don't know, grade 5, grade 6 before they stopped. And so it became part of us. And so here's what we often do, right? Well, you know, we're maybe in a tough spot, so what do we start quoting? The scriptures you know, right? So you say the Lord's Prayer. But here's the thing, if you're just saying the outline of the prayer, you're missing the whole point. Because Jesus is saying, in this manner, or in this way, or in this skeleton outline. In other words, you need to see this Lord's Prayer, the thing that you have on your little sheet of paper, is like the skeleton. But you've got to fill it in, fill the flesh in. In other words, you've got to put your parts in it, all right? And so that's what that little sheet is for. It's actually your homework, all right? Now, we're going to go through this line by line, but it's not really to write my comments in that I'm going to share. What it is to put in your part of the request, all right? So we'll talk about that in a minute, but let's just go on here. So, therefore, pray in this manner. Okay, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So what is he saying? He's saying, look it, first of all, acknowledge that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords abides in heaven, above everything on this earth, right? That's what you're doing. And hallowed, we don't use that word anymore, right? But here's what it means. Holy is your name. In other words, righteous and perfect in every way you are. In other words, it's acknowledging him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and in his right place. You've turned towards him and you're looking up to him. All right, that's where it all starts. And even Jesus is saying, that's where we start. It's all about him, folks. I know that sometimes when we pray, we think it's all about us, but really prayer should be all about him, and we're a part of it. That's what God wants to do. All right, so then let's move on. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that's a proclamation, isn't it? Your kingdom come. Well, what is that talking about? It could mean a couple of things. It could be referring to the return of Christ the second time. By the way, just in case anybody missed the memo, Jesus is going to return. Okay, just so everybody knows. And so that's what this is talking about. You know, your kingdom come. But it also could mean your kingdom come, your will be done. Meaning, look at right here and right now, the kingdom needs to be demonstrated on this earth. And guess how that's supposed to happen? Through you and through I. Being what? As we talked about a few weeks ago, being salt, being light, being the city on the hill to bring honor and glory to God. All right? So that's what we're called to do. And so we need to proclaim that. Okay, then we move on. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, for those that are Bible readers, you remember a time in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and for 40 years they had manna giving to them, right? Bread from heaven. So when we read this, you know, give us our daily bread, I do not suggest going outside your house looking for manna. Or in our case, loaves of bread, all right? Here's what this means. It's beyond that now. What it's basically saying, whatever needs that I have, all right? Now, it may be a loaf of bread for someone here. And so I don't want to diminish that at all, but it could mean your rent payment, your mortgage payment, you know, dealing with a car repair, you know, dealing with something like that. So basically saying, Lord, my needs, all right, whatever that might be. All right, so let's move on. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So right away, we think this is about money. Listen, it's far greater than that. It can mean money, all right? But it also means that if you have done something to someone, you've said something, you've offended someone in some way, then you owe them a debt. You've done them wrong in some way, and you need to deal with that. And also it means, and we're also to have an attitude of forgiveness for those that have done things to us as well. This is hard stuff. But Jesus is telling us that, look at all prayer in a whole and complete kind of way, This needs to be a part of your prayer life. Now, you might be, well, hold on, I don't talk to Jesus about the people I hate. I get it. That's your secret self. You know, you've got that packed away. But didn't we just talk about the fact he knows everything? So he knows about that hate that's in your heart. He knows about that hurt that's in your heart. So you might as well be open and tell him about it. In other words, bring it up and say, Lord, this is my issue. I've got hate towards this person, or I've got this offense. And ask him to help you. He's not going to get mad at you. He's just not that way. He's happy to help you. But unless you're willing to be honest with him, he won't help you. So it's really, really, really important that in prayer you are transparent and vulnerable before him in every way. Amen? Okay. And then don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Well, hold it. If you're a Bible reader, you read in James where it says that God doesn't tempt anyone, nor is he tempted. But here, it's talking about God tempting us. Well, you know, so here's the thing. You need to understand that when there's controversy in the Bible, when it seems to be something doesn't line up with something else, it's our understanding of it. It's not the word. Okay? So in this case, we need to look at context. And the context of it is delivering us from who? The evil one. And so here's what this scripture is acknowledging, that God is above all things, above the devil, above testings, above temptations and everything, that even a temptation that the devil does in our lives is filtered through the hand of God. That's why we can never be tempted beyond what we can bear, because God is watching over us. And so when you're being tempted by the devil, in God's eyes, that's a testing from him. You see where I'm going with this? And so you need to understand that. So here's the thing. All of us are dealing with temptations. All of us are dealing with testing. And so what do? Bring it to God. In fact, that's what this all these little lines are. See, the idea is that you're filling the flesh in here. You're filling it in. In other words, when you're talking about don't lead me into temptation, well, on those two lines, what areas are you being tempted in today? Write them down. And then with the idea, when you go to prayer, now it has you as a part of it. You're not just doing this rote thing where our Father, our in heaven, you know, and you're just saying it. That now it's got meaning because every line has you as a part of it where you're saying, Lord, these are the specific things because this is just an outline. This is a complete kind of prayer, all right? That's what it is. Going to God first. It begins with God, and it talks about you, and it talks about others, and I'll talk about that more in a moment. But then it goes on. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And some versions say forever and ever. Amen. How many people have that version? I remember the forever and ever. And they don't have it in here. Well, that's known as a doxology. In fact, some Bible versions don't even have this line in it. But because it's been quoted for so many times over the centuries, they've left it in. Very few places in the Bible where they've added something. How many people think this was a good addition? I'm okay with this. It's kind of like a closer, right? It brings you back again to worshiping Jesus. And that's really cool, right? Okay. So, I want to even refine this down simpler. Because you might not have this little piece of paper with you everywhere you go, but I encourage you to use this for a couple of weeks. And then after a while, you can set it aside. Here's how I want you to view complete and perfect prayer with Jesus, all right? There's three parts for you to remember, and I've got it really easy for you. They're going to put up on the screen, all right? It's look up, look in, and look out. Those are the three segments that you need to understand prayer to be. First of all, the look up part, right, is acknowledge him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You put him in his rightful place. You worship him. You're looking up to him to meet your needs, and you turn towards him, right? Your attention is on him. And then look in. Well, what does that mean? It means to deal with some of the internal stuff that's going on in here. Unforgiveness, hurt, maybe personal needs that you've got, all of those kinds of things. The needs maybe of those near and dear to you, but you're the one that has to deal with it. So you're looking in. And then finally, look out. And what does that mean? You know, look out of the way, you know, so you don't get hit? No. Look out, meaning look at the people around you. You see, it has to be in that order because you can't have a right attitude towards those around you until you have a right heart on the inside. And you can't have a right heart on the inside until you look up to Jesus and he helps you to have that right heart. So you see the order? Look up, look in, look out. Let's stand together. I'm going to close in a minute in prayer, but I want to just take a moment. I don't know all of you here. I do my best to meet everybody and say hello and meet new people, but every service we have new people. We had several new people at the first service as well. And so I always ask this question, because this is really, really important. Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? And if you can't look me in the eye and say, yes, I remember on, you know, and you might remember a date or a moment in time or a season of life where you say, yes, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I know that heaven is secure. I know I'm going to heaven when this life is over. But if you can't say that, why don't you make today that day? It's November 9th, I think. November 9th, 2025, where you can say, I know I made that decision. So if there's anyone here that's never made that decision, and you'd like to, all I'm going to do is ask you to raise your hand up. Is there anyone? Just want to make sure that everyone here is born again. You've got a ticket to heaven, so to speak. All right, well, I want to believe that everyone here knows Jesus. We had two first-timers accept Jesus the first service. It was awesome. But I always like to give that opportunity. Well, let's take a minute and pray. Father, I thank you for every person here. And Lord, I want to believe that those that are here all know you as Lord and Savior. And because of that, that means that we have a direct line of communication with you. You live in us, Lord God. And so, Lord, I pray that we connect to you more often. I pray that we have a greater consciousness of your presence in our lives as we walk through just our daily walk, Lord God. For Lord, in doing that, we will see the needs that are around us. We'll see what needs to change in our hearts as we honor and glorify you. So Lord, I speak a blessing upon your people. I pray that you're with them, Lord God, as they continue to walk with you hand in hand. Bless them as they fix their eyes upon you, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you this morning.